I was wondering, when you are calling out to God for deliverance, there's something that you've been going through, and maybe for a long time, like the Israelites, they've been going through this cruelty for a long, long time. When you're going through for a long time, and you really, really, really want God to deliver you, I mean, you are so desirous of being set free from the madness that you can't, you just can't hide your anguish. You can't hold back your anguish, your anxiety, your stress any longer. And you remain appropriate because you remember you're talking to the greatest person in all the world, God Almighty. But you cry out, and I'm talking men and women, you truly cry out, asking God to please come through and release you from the madness, release you from all that's against you, to crush the hand of your enemies and to deliver you from them. Are you just as passionate about pleasing God as you are about being released from what's against you? Notice, just a reminder, you now, God was going to set his people free, but there were certain things they had to do. And some of the things they had to do is make sure that they had slaughtered the right animal, the kind God specified, put blood above and on the sides of their doorposts. They had to eat a certain meal prepared a certain way, and that certain way being the way God prescribed, and they had to be dressed a certain way to leave so that they could leave quickly, so that when the call came to leave, they were ready to leave unhindered. But they also were commanded by God, speaking through Moses and Aaron, make sure that before it's time for you to leave, you compel your Egyptian neighbors to give you gold and silver and fine clothes. Now, I don't want you to think that every time God delivers all of his people, that he's necessarily going to see to it that they're rich in this lifetime. I know a lot of people like to take that passage of scripture and make a doctrine out of it. That is false doctrine. If you will study all the way through the scripture, all of Old Testament, all of New Testament, even when we are pleasing God by walking righteously, uprightly before God, he is not necessarily going to make us materially wealthy in this life. That is false doctrine that many teach. It is false doctrine. If you look at it, a lot of people like to teach that Jesus was rich. That's a lie. He was not rich. Part of the reason that he was buried in Joseph's tomb is because he didn't have a tomb of his own. Part of the reason, in fact, the reason, that he had Peter go get money out of the mouth of a fish in order to pay his taxes and to pay Peter's taxes is because Jesus didn't have the money to pay his taxes. If he had had the money, he would have used it. But because he didn't have it, he sent Peter to the fish. The Apostle Paul talked about how he worked with his hands, worked hard, making tents to make a living for himself, to keep himself alive and to finance his ministry. And he talked about how even with that, all the tent making he did, there were still times when he didn't have enough to eat. He was cold, didn't have a lot of clothes. He said, I have learned that in whatever state I'm in, to be content. Whether I have much or whether I have little. And he knew what it meant to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes having enough, sometimes having more than enough, sometimes having not enough, having too little. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He was absolutely faithful to God. And when I say absolutely, I mean, there's no question that he was faithful to his God, but he was not materially wealthy. Peter and the disciples heading into the temple. And the man, the beggar, who was crippled, expecting to receive something. When Peter told him, look on us. Peter said, I don't have silver. I don't have gold. But this is what I do have. He had power and authority given to him by Jesus. And with that wealth, he told the man to rise up. And the man jumped to his feet, totally healed. Silver and gold have I none, Peter said. No, it's not true. It is false doctrine that God has promised to make all of his people financially wealthy in this life. That is false doctrine. And I want to make sure that you understand that is not what I'm teaching when I tell you that God told the Israelites, get that money, get those clothes from your neighbors, the Egyptians. If you're going to take that doctrine, then we need to take the rest of what, you know, if we're going to take that part of the passage and make it a doctrine, then we need to make the rest of it a doctrine too. And we need to be saying, God, we need to be seeing God send all the frogs. We need to have God sending all the gnats. We need to be expecting God to kill all the firstborn of everyone who are not his faithful people. Don't just take that, lift that one part of it out and make it a doctrine. And don't put the rest of it in there. Make it doctrine too. If you're going to make part of it doctrine, make all of it doctrine. That's false doctrine. So don't fall for that. So we have them being given specific instructions as to what they need to do. God's people. Are you willing to hear specific instructions from God as to what you need to do in order to be delivered? Because remember now, had they disobeyed God, had the Israelites, the people of God, disobeyed God and refused to put the blood over the doorposts, their firstborn sons would have been killed too. God's angel who was going about killing was looking for the blood. And where he saw the blood on the doorpost, he would spare that household. He'd pass over it. That's where they got the feast, the Passover from. The angel who was killing the firstborn sons would pass over every home of the Israelites where he saw the blood. They could not just be Israelites. That wasn't enough. They had to have the blood on the doorpost. In other words, their position, their status as Israelites was not enough. Obedience was required. They had to eat pure bread, which represented the pure gospel. And they had to be ready to leave at a moment's notice, just like the five wise virgins spoken of in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord, the same yesterday and today and forever. They had to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. And the Lord Jesus says, hey, be ready. You know not when the Lord of the harvest will be returning. You know not when the master will come back. 10 virgins. Five wise, five foolish. The five wise kept themselves ready, oil in their lamps, kept themselves ready to go. So that at whatever time the bridegroom would return, they'd be ready to go. The five foolish were called virgins. They were in position. They had the status. They had the titles. But they were not obedient. They were not ready. And so when the bridegroom came, he took only those who were ready. He left those who were not ready, who had not prepared themselves and kept themselves ready. It's not enough to just have the title, Christians. You've got to be obedient. Stay with me. More Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr.